hearing the bowl sound before the gatha on opening the sutra, there's really nothing more that needs to be said. And yet, since I'm expected to speak, I will. In a way, our practice is very interesting. Interesting in the sense that noticing the practice principles, caught in self-centered, holding to self-centered, we seem to be concerned about taking care of the problems that result from self-centeredness. And yet, the more attention we give to self-centeredness, self-problems, suffering, stress, seeming personal things, the more we misdirect ourselves, the more we miss, if I use the word, diagnose and mistreat what's needed in this life. To carry self forward and awaken, illuminate all things, beings, is delusion. Or if we say it differently, perpetuates and even increases suffering. Or, to say it differently, to carry self forward and confirm myriad dharmas, it just to carry our attention to self as the focus of our practice and the focus of, even if I use the word, healing or resolving suffering and all the consequences of that, is delusion. It's only when the myriad things, the whole universe, the myriad dharmas come forth, advance, and illuminate self, if we use in other words, confirm self, that we can awaken to who we are, that we can take care of suffering, stress. Only when these myriad beings, things that are this universe, illumine, confirm our life, our place being as this universe, that there's any sort of, what we use the word, actualizing. It's only when we take care of all the universe that the caughtness, the holding suffering, the dreams are dissipated. So I'm going to repeat the poem that I talked about yesterday, and then maybe talk a little more in that direction. So this is One Night a Practitioner. His name in Chinese was Dong Po, but that's just a name. We don't need to attend to that. Or Sotoba in Japanese, who was a practitioner of the way, who studied and who had gone to his teacher after asking his teacher about how does insentient beings express the Dharma. And he couldn't quite get what his teacher said. So he went wandering in the mountains, struggling with what his teacher had said to him. He went wandering in the mountains, his teacher had said, had quoted something from a much earlier master who said, inanimate objects proclaim the Dharma, the reality of life. He couldn't, what does that mean? How do insentient beings, tiles, walls, rocks, how do they proclaim the teaching of the Buddha of awakening? And yet he was wandering in the night, chewing on this, till hearing the sound of the streams in a mountain valley, he had a realization, and he composed this verse. The sound of the valley stream is his great tongue. The colors of the mountain are his pure body. In the night, I have heard 84,000 sutras. But how to tell people the next day? How to tell, how to share this the next day? How do we share this? This, in a way, it's very simple and yet very difficult. Why is it difficult? Our practice is very simple and yet sometimes it seems very difficult. Why is it difficult? Because we carry the self forward in our practice. We attempt to practice in terms of ourself. We attempt to live our life with the self looking, listening, focusing, attempting to awaken in various activities. This is a human tendency, our human tendency. It's vital for us to study, to attend to self. And yet, It's vital for us to remember that the only difficulty we have is that we see, hear, taste, experience the world, the universe, our life, through this little, if I say it, keyhole called self. And this is not something new. There was once a practitioner who asked Master Changsha in China, how do you turn self into mountains, rivers, and the great earth? No, first he asked, how do you turn mountain, rivers, and the great earth into self? Or how can our original nature be mountains, rivers, and earth? Different ways to translate this in Chinese into English. How does our true nature, even fancier word, original nature, become mountains, streams, and great earth? Notice the problem there. How does our mind, original nature, another master was asked by another practitioner, how can we possess mountains, rivers, and earth as our own? How can we possess mountains, rivers, earth as our own? And of course, we ourselves can see, how can we possess other beings, other people, other circumstances as our own? How can we do that? So, when asked, how can we possess mountain, rivers, and earth as our own? His teacher responded, how can we return to mountains, rivers, and earth? How can we return to mountains, rivers, and earth? Another way to look at that is, how are you misinterpreting mountains, rivers, and the earth? Not just mountain, rivers, and the earth, but everyone and everyone's actions that you encounter. How are you misinterpreting it? How are you seeing it, hearing it, tasting it through the self, through that little keyhole of self? How are you hearing it, seeing it, tasting it through the little keyhole of self? When we talk of practice, it's very clear that that's where we start off. We don't often want to admit that, but when greed, anger, confusion arise, they're really just forms of self that seem to naturally arise for us as ways to react to the circumstances of life, whether it's other people or other beings or all sorts of events. If we listen to them in those terms, if we study them in those terms, then we never can find a good resolution. If we think practice is about taking care of my suffering and my stress, my dissatisfactions, which, as I said, is a popular misinterpretation. Oh, you're sitting to get rid of your problems. You're doing navel gazing, an old expression. But that's what we're doing. In a sense, that's where we have to start when that's primary for us. Wonderful. That's where we have to start. But how do we return to the mountains, rivers, great earth, the sky and the stars that are our life, always right in front of us? Not our stories about mountains, rivers, much less our stories about other beings, whether we call them sentient or insentient. But how do we turn ourselves over? If you look at from the time of Shakyamuni Buddha's awakening, which is connected to Buddha seeing the morning star. It's the morning star that awakens the Buddha. It's the sounds of the valley and the colors of the mountain that awaken Dongpo. It's seeing peach blossoms. It's hearing the tuck of a stone striking a bamboo, or of the bell gong. It's how do we get out of the way of ourselves? So, or as Dogen said, to study the Buddha way, yes, it starts with the study of self, because that's the only keyhole, if I say, which we're willing to begin to look at, open to reality. And yet, if we stay caught in that, then if we only notice where and what we're entangled in, then it's only suffering. We can enumerate that and trail it out. No, that isn't the word. Follow it out in all sorts of ways, and it just continues to go and go and go. However, if we can notice that and open to the experiencing isn't a personal thing. The mountains and rivers, or the traffic and the leaves on the tree, the light in the room, aren't a personal thing. The sound and the air aren't a personal thing. If we can, as we can, give ourselves away to it, it can and does nurture us. It allows us, if I use such words, to awaken to their original nature, which is our original nature, which is called awakening. We can use all sorts of fancy words for this. There's Dogen, in discussing this, says, because of the power of valley sounds and mountain colors, the great earth, and sentient beings simultaneously attain the way. The great earth and sentient beings, Buddha and the morning star, are awakened. Not Buddha by himself got something from the morning star. If you understand Buddha's awakening in that way, you don't understand Buddha's awakening. That isn't Dogen, but that's my saying. See? Therefore, we can say things like, self is mountains, rivers, and the earth. Not only can we say it, we can attest to it right here for ourselves. That's what practice is about. Being just this moment is attesting to this whole universe, this moment. This moment isn't anything as a concept. It's the whole universe right here. See, that's why Dogen uses the expression awakened by the 10,000 dharmas, the myriad dharmas. That's why he can say this awakening goes on endlessly. That's why Joko emphasizes that this life that we are is not anything. It is not a thing. And yet we try to push and squeeze our life into things, even ideas and things like that. Then we miss who we are. We miss who we are because we carry along these glasses, these lenses of self, these hearing aids that add self to everything that we hear. And the self isn't some thing. Self is simply the cause and effect of the moment arising and yet being, what should I say, interpreted according to the accommodating, accompanying greed, anger, ignorance that seems to accompany our many experiences until we release them over and over so that we can allow them to accompany without being overtaken by them. We can allow them to arise without having to instantly react through them. See, that's really what our practice is developing the capacity and ability to have all sorts of reactive habits arise and yet not live through them. Until they don't, for almost everyone, and I'll just say for almost everyone except Buddhas that we haven't met yet, there are circumstances where self-centeredness in some form arises, physically and mentally. The mark of a practitioner is that we can notice it arising, passing. We can allow it to pass without having to succumb to the fear that if I don't live out of this, I'll be in great trouble. That's the willingness to rest in the icy couch of the moment. The willingness to notice the self-centered fear or anger or other versions of self-centeredness. And in noting them, be the universe of the moment. Be this bodily universe, but of course this body isn't inside. If you can hear this, then right there is this body, right now. We are never in a bag of skin and bones cut off from the universe around us. Never. And yet, if we believe we are in this bag of skin and bones, then we miss the whole universe. Then we only hear the universe through these little holes in the ears instead of hearing with our eyes, with our face, with our whole body. Instead of being this great earth, mountains and rivers, which we are, myriad beings in all directions, which we are. See, we tend to interpret words, so if we say myriad beings, then I am this being inside here, or inside this story I have, or as Joko's verse says, caught in self-centered dream. Caught even more in the holding of self-centered thoughts and emotions. Unwilling to experience life as it is except through those filters. There's an expression, to attain awakening is to leave the world of vanity. Leave the world of vanity. For whatever reasons, this is very difficult for us. Even though from morning to night, the truth, the reality, is always confronting us. It's always in front of our eyes. It's always our hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, which is why our practice is so simple. Our practice is so simple and is not at all navel-gazing self-concern, but rather it's opening as this experiencing moment that we are, nothing special. You don't have to do any super special activity that's only for some elite. It's available to everyone you know, but most of all to you, as you are. All that's needed is for a momentary release of but caught in self-centeredness. Momentarily, don't worry, it'll come back. You won't lose it. If you ever lose it, come to me and I'll help you have it, get it back. Don't worry. Just when it appears, treat it like a nice little friend that comes and it can stay by the side of you so you notice, I notice you're here, and be this moment that your life is. Then your life is offering you the great universe right where you are, right as you are, right as things are. So you can see the world, if it's mountains and valleys, streams, wonderful. If it's a busy street, great. If it's, and you fill in, that is it. That's exactly how and where the universe of beings, sentient and insentient, are always the great tongue and body of the Buddha, of the awakening, which is always reciting sutras to enable all beings to compassionately live the life that we are, compassionately live it together. It's only in together that we can compassionately practice. Then we can be this ongoing changing, these ongoing conditions and circumstances that reveal this moment, that reveal that we ourselves are change as this moment, and that this change is just this moment. This is the opportunity for each of us to be this, to know this, to manifest this. So then, if we're still, wonderful. If it's ongoing changing, great, because stillness, ongoing changing, they're not two different things. Okay. Thank you.